Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Well, amen. Amen. So grateful for just the Smoky Mountain Pregnancy Care Center, for those that volunteer there, that serve there. Super grateful for what God does through that ministry. I know Mike Barris is serving in a neat way there with young men as they walk alongside them and encourage them through just mentorship and helping them as they walk through what it looks like to be a dad and what it looks like to raise a child, or even making decisions about adoption, but helping to just to see people choose life, encouraged by that. So grateful to gather this morning and to worship our great God. And I just want to start out with a question for you this morning. And the question is this: where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? You know, for those of you that know Sherry and I well, we love going on treasure hunts, right? We love to do that. We love to go to Goodwills and thrift stores and yard sales, and anytime we have a chance to do that, maybe if we're traveling, and she'll scope out some ones in the area or whatever that we're at, and we love to go there. We love that. We love to go on a hunt for treasure. Now, we've got a couple things different. She loves yard sales, and she loves even having yard sales, but I don't love having them, right? I don't enjoy those moments. I don't enjoy that. And fact is, we're wired a little differently. She looks at certain things in the house, and she might ask me some questions sometimes, like, do you think you really still need that? And I say, baby, you never know when something's going to break down. And I mean, I got that old carburetor for the Mustang over here. I've got these, like, we keep those, some of those things. It's hard for us to turn loose of, right? Now, when I was a teenager, I didn't enjoy going on those treasure hunts. My mom would go on some of those treasure hunts after school or some of those places. And back in those days, it wasn't cool. When you went to the thrift store, it just meant you were poor. I mean, that's all it meant. That's really all it meant. And so, but now, like, it's a fun thing to do. Like, the young people, they're like, hey, let's go thrifting. Let's do that. But back in those days, I'll kind of just shrink down a little bit, hoping my buddies didn't see along the way. But now we love a treasure hunt. Now, I think these yard sales, I think these thrift stores, I think some of the things we see there can teach us something. I think we can learn some stuff there. Here's what I've learned. What someone else sees as junk, sometimes I look at it and I see it as a treasure, right? And some of my treasures, right, I just have this understanding that some of my treasures one day, like, my son's probably going to haul them to the landfill, right? It's just this reality. Like, some of those things, they only last. What even the things that maybe some of us treasure, what we once treasured, eventually, it loses its shine. It loses its fulfillment. It loses that kind of thing. I was telling Sherry, I was like, you know, just in honor of this message, if you could help me. And just so y'all know, like, I can't do much without her, including get myself dressed for church. I have a hard time with colors. I have a hard time with all those things. And when I used to try to do that, she'd say, you're not wearing that, are you? And I was like, no, ma'am. I was just using that to feed the dogs. And, you know, it's just like, and so she helps me. But this is a fully thrifted outfit, right? This is less than $10 here from the top to the bottom, right? And so so we love those treasure hunts. We love those kind of things. But here's what we know. The earthly treasures do not last. In fact, regardless of what this world tells you, and the world wants to tell us that things will last and that we can find satisfaction, Timothy would say that godliness with contentment, or Paul would tell Timothy that godliness with contentment, that it's great gain. And the world would tell us that if we have these certain things, that we'll find contentment, we'll find satisfaction. Fact is, we found out recently that all the pans in our house were killing everybody. I don't know if y'all read that. But we understood that, like, these pans, like the things that are on them, like, it's bad for you, you know, and they've tracked it with all kind of things, all kind of sickness, cancer, Alzheimer's, I mean, all these things, you know. And so it's like, we need to get some pans that are good for us. Sherry was looking for one. So I found one. I found, like, a healthy pan. That's what I call it, a healthy pan. And so this pan, right, it's awesome, right? And when you get this pan in, like, I cooked on it the first time the other day, and I feel better already. I do. Like, it's awesome. And And this pan, like it's beautiful. And so when I get this pan and I'm reading about it, and there's some good news that comes with the pan. I'm reading about it, how to care for it, how to make sure it lasts forever, all those things. And that's what it said. It said this pan. And I thank God because it costs like a lot more than my thrifted outfit. Okay. You didn't find that at the thrift store. So I thank God that this pan, it comes with the claim that this pan, you will hand this pan down for generations. This pan, according to the little info thing on it, says this pan will last forever. But we all know that like nothing lasts forever. Not on this earth. Nothing earthly does. And earthly treasure, we understand a couple things about it. It won't last forever, and you can't take it with you. My father-in-law always liked to say, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. And Jesus would speak to this, right? A guy named Randy Alcorn, you see the quote on the screen. He wrote a book called The Treasure Principle, and he pulls this from the Sermon on the Mount and from Jesus' teaching that we will look at today. And he wrote this book called The Treasure Principle. And if you were to sum this book up in just a sentence, this quote from him is that you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You know, there's a guy named John Rockefeller. He passed away. He was a very wealthy man. And something about us, we want to know about wealth. We want to know about how much wealth people have. There's a little thing that somehow we want to know that. And so his accountant was asked by someone after he passed. He kind of just leaned in a little bit. And he said, so how much? He said, kind of whispering, you know, he said, how much? How much did he leave behind? And the accountant just kind of looked at him and smiled and said, all of it. All of it. Today we're on a treasure hunt. A hunt for treasure. Now, not going to thrift stores, but we're going to go to God's Word and we're going to look at our lives. And I believe that what the Scripture teaches is that where we find our treasure, when we look today and we find our treasure, we're going to find so much more. We're going to find what really matters. And if you want to look and know about what matters to someone, you can ask them and they can tell you things with their lips. But when you look at their life, if you follow them around and if you were given access to their schedule, right? If you were given access to their spending, if you were given access to the way that they serve and how they use their gifts, if you were given access to those things, you could learn so much about those people because those things, they tell a story. They tell a story about our lives. They tell a story about where our treasure is. And so we're gonna look at Matthew's gospel, chapter number 6. I wanna invite you to turn to Matthew 6. We'll also look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We're gonna continue where we left off there last week. And so if you'll turn there, we're gonna stand together in honor of the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word. So if you were able, we would love for you to stand together. You'll see most of these verses on the screen, but I do wanna go back to starting in verse 19 in Matthew's gospel, chapter number 6. These are the words of Jesus. Beginning in verse 19, we see, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. Then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, we read this, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now all together, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray together. Holy God, Lord, we thank you for your word, God. Lord, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. And we understand, God, as I read this passage and I reflect on my life, Lord, you, God, you use your word to reveal things about us, Lord, to do work, precision work in our lives, Lord, because we understand that in the power of your spirit, Lord, that you take the word of God and that you use it in a way to conform the hearts of your people, Lord, to look more like you, God. So we pray that you would do that today, Lord. We pray that as we think about treasure, God, as we think about our lives, Lord, I'm reminded so much, Lord, multiple deaths in this past week, even in our church family. Lord, I'm reminded that life is a vapor. Lord, we hear those things, and sometimes as kids, we don't fully understand them, Lord, but as we grow older, we see, God, this life, it is moving time. Lord, it's a vapor. Lord, the scripture says our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. Lord, help us to reflect on what we do with this life that you've given us. God, help us to remember, Lord, it's not our lives, it's yours. We've been bought with a price. And Lord, may we glorify God in our bodies. May we glorify you in our lives. Lord, as I reflect on these verses and I think about, God, just laying up treasure in heaven, Lord, I'm reminded, Lord, one of our dear saints, Miss Dolores Mason, Lord, this Friday, God, we know you brought her home to be with you. And Lord, even where I stand, Lord, this used to be a Sunday school class where she taught for 40 years, God, children about what it looks like to follow you, Lord, to teach them who you are and what you've done on Calvary's cross, Lord. And I'm reminded, Lord, there's a lot of things that she, God, that she left behind. And Lord, we pray for her family that is here. God, we pray for people who are grieving. And God, we think of those things, but Lord, we are reminded, Lord, that God, as C.T. Studd so well said, Lord, only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Lord, we thank you for her investment in the lives of this church and in the lives of young people that are even in this room now, adults, Lord. We praise you for that. Lord, help us, Lord, to live, God, this day in light of that day. Lord, that day you'll call us home. That day you'll return for your church, Lord. And we pray, God, that you might bless this family, Lord. We pray for also for the Stewart family, God, for Betsy Appel, Lord, and the loss of her grandmother, Lord. We're reminded, Lord, of just the frailty of life. Lord, we know it's a gift. And Lord, we pray that you would allow us, Lord, to just see the shortness of it, Lord, and that we might live every day, Lord, for the glory of your name. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, we're in this series called Made for More, and we've been looking at some rhythms that were established in the early church. We see on the day of Pentecost, we see the church birth. We see the Spirit of God move amongst the people of God, and we see this church that was birthed for the mission. We see God begin to use this church, and we see these rhythms. We see this way that this church, as the Spirit of God would lead them, would build rhythms that they would live by and rhythms that we continue to live in today. And we would see this pattern, this pathway, not programs, not those kind of things, but we would see this pattern that we can learn from and that we can glean from. We kind of coined this the Acts 2 flywheel, and we use some verses in Acts, and we're reminded of these things that this church would do, the way that they would gather, the way that they would do life together. And so I want you to help me for a minute, like we did with the Ten Commandments. You guys gave me some feedback. It's not quite as fun with all the hand motions, but I want us to fill in this flywheel. So you see it up here, and one of the first things that we saw the early church do, right? They were these 3,000 were saved. The scripture says that as many as received him, as many as were baptized, that they were added to their number that day, and they began to do something. The first thing they did, what did we see they do? They gather, right? Congratulations, you guys did good. So they gathered, and you guys are here this morning, right? You're doing that. Praise God, right? The second thing we would see, they gathered in large group. They gathered in the temple courts, but the Bible also says that they would break bread from house to house. What'd they do? Groups, right? They gather in these smaller settings, right? They gather in the, we got one more week, right? So we'll test this next week, right? So they gather, they were in groups. What we're going to be talking about today, the third thing that we would see, give, right? The scripture says that they had glad and generous hearts, right? God loves a cheerful giver. We'll see that as we walk through the text today. But they gave, and then the scripture would say that day by day, that they would, as they were going, that the Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. And so what did they do? They go, they went, right? And we continue to do that. We continue to leave on mission for the glory of God. And when we see people walking in this, what we see is that we grow in our individual lives. We see that the mission of God is fueled in these ways. We see God working in incredible ways through His church. And so today, as we look at this thought of giving, what I want you to hear is this kind of picture that we might would see in Romans 12, this picture that we might would take away from verse 1 of Romans 12, where we would see this great teaching from chapters 1 all the way through chapter 11 of the greatness of God, of what He's done on our behalf, of the finished work of the cross, of who we are in Christ. And we would see His greatness. And then Paul would write, therefore, chapter 12, verse 1, he would say, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. And so when we think about how we respond, when we think about God's grace in our life, when we read these verses in Colossians 3, it says, with grateful hearts. It is a motivated hearts not to get something from God. God has already given everything to us in His Son, and we are motivated by His mercies. He would say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, your reasonable worship. Listen, the reasonable thing that we might do is to give all of ourselves to Him, that we might live our lives for His glory and for His renown, and to declare His great name. And so we get this big idea today when we're on this treasure hunt. We get this big idea, and we get this from Jesus, right? And here's what it is, right? We see this. It's going to frame kind of where we're at. Whatever you do reveals what you treasure. So we're taking Colossians 3:17, Matthew 6. Whatever you do reveals what you treasure, and what you treasure directs your heart. What you treasure directs your heart. Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Paul says, whatever you do, do it in Jesus' name. Do it as a representative of King Jesus. And so there's not Sunday morning Christians and then people that do something else the rest of the week. Listen, this is an all-consuming part of our lives. This is a reality, right, that everything we do, there is no day off from following Jesus. Our Saturday night and our Sunday morning should look alike. Our Sunday morning and our Monday morning ought to look the same when we go in our workplaces. This is who we are. Listen, it's not our life. We've been bought with a price, and we are to glorify God. We are to represent Him. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, whatever you're doing, he said, do it in Jesus' name. Augustine would put it this way. He said, where your pleasure is, there is your treasure. And where your treasure is, there is your heart. And where your heart is, there is your happiness. There is your happiness. Paul doesn't leave anything out. He says, whatever you do, in the words, in your walk, in everything in your life, listen, it is all-consuming. It's comprehensive language. He is saying if Jesus is Lord, He is Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all. That He is Lord of everything in your life, and everything you do, you are doing it in the name of Jesus. And when you see this in the name of Jesus, what it's saying is that you are a representative of King Jesus. Paul would use language in 2 Corinthians 5. He would say we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was making His appeal through us. He would say that we are representatives of King Jesus. And so as we live and the things that we do, we act in His name. We represent Him. We have authority because of His authority. We have authority in the Word of God. We go out with His authority, with His Spirit leading us and guiding us. We represent King Jesus, and we are to do, Christian, you are to do everything you do in the name of the Lord Jesus with thanksgiving. This is who we are. This is how we live. You remember those What Would Jesus Do bracelets? Many of you may have worn those at some point. It's that kind of thought. What would Jesus do? That's how we should live. If we look at Colossians 3, we would say this is what who we are in Christ. We've been raised with Christ. And so what would someone who has been united with Christ, who has been resurrected, listen, who's been given new life in Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, on mission for the glory of His name, how would they live? What would they do in this situation? And here's what we see. Whatever you do, your time, your treasures, your talents. I believe those three things, I think they kind of encapsulate what we do. When Paul says, whatever you do, from word, deed, I think if you think of those three things. So we're going to think of those boxes a little bit today. Jesus says, in Matthew 6:33, we would kind of see him bringing in a charge from this teaching. And he would say in chapter 6, verse 33, he would say, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And so we're going to look today at these three things, at our time, at our treasure, and our talents, and think about what does it look like to seek God first in all those things. Jesus would command us. He says, "Hey, stop hoarding these temporary things." And I don't think he's talking about my carburetor over there that I won't let go of. Listen, I don't believe he says he's given us all things richly to enjoy. There are things like that. But listen, my life cannot be for the pursuit of things that will somehow just continue to add and grow my kingdom. My life needs to be centered on his kingdom. And I'm going to seek first his kingdom. And so we're going to walk through this and we think about how we live. Point number one, we need to give our time to seek his kingdom first. Give your time to seek his kingdom first. I've got a jar in my office that I've used before, and I keep it there to look at it from time to time. And it's a jar, sits about this tall, and it's got some big rocks in it. And then it's got just a ton of pebbles. And the first time we put that together, we've all heard this illustration. We've all seen this illustration, but it does me good to remember sometimes. There's a lot of little stuff out there. And so we put all those little rocks in there. And then I had these big rocks to the side, and they just wouldn't fit. So we dump them all out and we put the big rocks in first. We said, "Hey, this is my time with Jesus. This is time with family." We just kind of listed these important things and we put those big rocks in first and we dumped everything else in. And it's just this reminder. Listen, if we don't have priority, we had dinner with some folks last night, and one of the things we were talking about was like the gym and all these other things. And we said, "Hey, if these things are not priorities in our life, everything will crowd them out." And it's the same when it comes to our spiritual life. Listen, we need to live our lives centered on Jesus Christ. We have described it sometimes using terms of the 5% life. So when we think about your time, I want to ask you today to find a starting point at 5%, right? That seems like an awful little to give King Jesus, right? That seems like an awful little of our life, right? But when you think about 5% of your day, if you were to figure that up, it's a little over an hour. What would it look like for you to say, "Hey, I'm going to give 5% of my day to intentionally pursuing my relationship with Jesus Christ"? Now, we see in the scriptures that we're to pray without ceasing, that we're to live our lives in that way. But what if we just said, "Hey, I'm going to map this thing in. So I'm going to get up with enough time. So I've got 15 more minutes before I have to head out the door with my kids or before I have to go to work. And I'm going to open the Word of God and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to take that 15 minutes. And then as I go to work, instead of listening to whatever, I'm going to listen to a podcast. I'm going to play the scripture." Listen, we're so spoiled. We are so blessed that I can take out my phone. I can say, "Play," and I can just listen. I don't even have to read. I can just listen to the Bible. I can listen as I drive to work. I can listen as I go to sleep. I mean, we are so blessed with so many things, right? What would it look like if we began to do that? Maybe at lunchtime, you take some time. Maybe you're saying, "Okay, I'm reading in the morning and I'm praying, God, give me somebody at work that I can encourage. Give me somebody that I can talk about what I learned in your word this morning." And then before you go to bed, just gather with your family and just take just a moment. What would it take if you just took 5% and you said, "I'm going to intentionally just map out some things for Jesus"? And then what if I said, "Okay, this 5% life, now I know this doesn't add up perfect, but you'll get it, right?" What if I said 1%, 1% of my week, right? If I said, "Hey, I'm just going to give 1% of my week, an hour and a half to gathering with God's people." So we think about this flow. I'm going to gather with God's people. 1%, 1% of my week. I'm going to give in service. I'm going to serve. You know, right now as we gather, there are people that are volunteering in the kids wing, taking care of your children. There are people that are serving as part of our host team. There are people that are making sure that we're safe on our security team. There are people that are giving of themselves this morning so that we can worship God, so that we can come together in this way. So what if we gave some of our time? And here's the thing, God desires to use all of you. He desires to use every one of us in ways like this. What if you gave 1% of your month to groups, right? This would be 7 hours in a smaller group, whether it's a D group, a Sunday school class, a Wednesday night group, 2% of your year. That kind of adds up to 5%, right? But 2% of your year, that's 7 days. Well, you said, "I'm going on mission for the glory of Christ. I'm gonna take a week and I'm gonna get on an airplane and I'm gonna go to El Salvador. I'm gonna go to Honduras. I'm gonna give a day working right back here in the Brotherhood yard." Clark told me the other day, we were looking at some of the pictures. I didn't get to be part of it. I Hope had a track meet, I think, and we were gone, but I was looking at the pictures, and the first Saturday of every month, there's a group of guys, the Brotherhood guys, that get together, and they split wood, and they hauled like 13 loads of wood that day, and listen, the average age of those guys was up there a little bit, and Clark said, hey, us young whippersnappers, he said, we're going to have to get in gear, like we can't be, and we need those people, like we're all called to serve, right? We're all called to engage. What would it look like for 7 days a year? Maybe you can't go to Honduras or Guatemala, but maybe 7 days a year, you can meet at the back part of that shed, and you can deliver wood, and you can deliver meals, or you can do something like that. What does it look like when we give of ourselves? And we think, you know, that's not a lot of time. I mean, when you think about all the time we have, I mean, this whole 5% thing, that's not much time. But the principle is, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I just think if we'll put him first in some areas, we'll begin to plot that everything else will just line up. I just think it'll just line up in order. So we want to start small. We want to seek him first. So we want to give of our time. Second thing, we want to give our treasure to impact eternity. Most of us will spend the majority of our adult life of waking hours, we'll spend the majority of our adult waking hours working to exchange time for money. And so what we do with that, it's a reality that it has so much that it tells about how we spend our lives, how we live, what we do. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at that bank statement, I'm like, I had no idea I ate out that many times. Anybody ever done that? You're like, I can't believe I did that. I mean, you want to look, it's like Amazon came that many times. I mean, you can look at all these things, right? We see those kind of things. And Jesus says it really plainly. He says, we're not storing up. He said, don't store up things on here that are going to be, you know, just gone in a minute, but lay your treasures up in heaven. And he says there's some real purpose in this that sometimes we miss. I missed it for a lot of my life. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's this kind of crazy thing. He doesn't say where your heart is, there's where we'll find all your treasure. And there may be truth in that if we kind of flip that around. But what Jesus said is where your treasure is, where you walk in obedience, where you give, you're going to find your heart following that. He says, you're going to see that. And so what I've learned over time is that giving is not just something that we do after our heart's right. I used to say that like when your heart's right, your giving's right. I used to think about all those things. Sherry and I, we wrestled with this when we first got married. We just came from kind of two different worlds. We were not in church a lot when I was growing up. And so this concept of like giving was like something that was a little foreign to me, if I'm honest. And so we got married and we began to do life together. And she said, hey, well, we've gotten paid. And so we want to take and we want to set apart this first part of our what God's gifted us with. And we want to give that to the Lord. You know, that's the Lord. And then we're going to do the rest. And my eyes, sure, they were probably pretty big, weren't they? They were pretty, and I'm thinking to myself, I was like, I didn't see the Lord out there. I was working for that. No, I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, what are we doing? We're talking about all that, and we began to talk, and she says, you know, for my whole life, she said, we give the first to the Lord. She said, my whole life, she said, my mom, she said, my dad would work. He'd come home. My mom would take that money, and she would take an envelope. And before we used anything else, she said, this is the Lord's. And she set it aside. And she said, my whole life has been that way. And we're going to honor God. And I said, well, why don't you give him your money, like part of your money, and I'll keep mine so we can live for a little while, right? And there was a journey that I went on. There was a journey that I had to grow in. And what I understood is just like, you know, we kind of kid about my Mustang and the things I'm going to work on one day and this kind of tight hold I have on them. And I kind of say, hey, I'm not, you know, and we joke back and forth, Sherry and I do about that. But there's a reality that the Lord understood that, man, there was something that had a tight hold, that I had a tight hold on, that I needed to learn how to surrender to him. And part of this reality for me was that this giving was not simply a measure of maturity, but for me, it was a pathway to grow. And as I began to turn loose of these idols, as I began to be willing to look and say, hey, I'm spending wastefully. I'm not managing what God has given me. See, if God owns it all and he's blessed me with some, I'm supposed to be a steward over all of it. And as I've learned those things and as I've turned loose of some of those things, God has grown me. And so I like to say now, giving's not only from the heart, but it's for the heart. It's part of the way God grows his people. And here's the way Paul would explain it in 2 Corinthians 9. I love verse 6 and 7. He says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Notice what Paul removes: guilt, pressure, manipulation. He says, in light of what Jesus has done, And we give joyfully and sacrificially, always a portion, sometimes a sacrifice, but it is a response of faith. Ultimately, when we do, we're saying, hey, eternity matters more than my accumulation. It loosens our grip on the temporary things, and we invest in things that matter. Because here's the truth for all of us. Some of what we treasured will not last, but only what's given to Christ's work will. C.T. Studd's said it in the prayer. Listen, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Point number three. Listen, not only do we give our treasure to impact eternity, but we give our talents to serve in Jesus' name. We're going to close quickly, but what I want you to hear is that God gifts every believer for service in the body of Christ. I want you to hear that again. God gifts every believer for service. 1 Corinthians 12, maybe verses 3 through 7 or so. Romans chapter number 12, verses 3, 4, maybe 5 and 6 even in there too. But this reality that God, he gifts us, and no believer is without gifts. Now, we may not have the gift we want. We may not be given, like here's the reality. Like last week in the 9:45, I came slipping in. I'd been in the early service, and I was coming in, and I start singing, like when I get in here, and my kids and my wife, they were laughing later because they could hear me coming, right? And here's what you need to know. Clark's never inviting me to the worship team, okay? I sing to Jesus, right? And somehow it gets filtered, and it's beautiful when it gets there. I just know it, right? But that's not my gift, right? That's not it. And I've thought throughout my life sometimes, if I could sing like Britt Cochran, I'd serve every week. I'd sing when I talk to you. I would. I'd say, hello, Stan. I'd just sing, right? I just do it all the time, right? I would. And sometimes I think, you know, if I had that gift, I would do it all the time. If I could do this, if I could do that, we think that. And here's how I thought about money most of my life. I'd say, you know what? If I was rich as so-and-so, you can fill in the blank. Some of y'all thought it. You said, if I had that money, I'd do this, I'd do that. We think that, but here's what we understand. God's grace gifts us all. Here's what the scripture would say. 1 Corinthians 12:7. He says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's for the good of the body. It's for the glory of God. These gifts are given not to make me look good. God probably didn't give me that gift because he knew I'd sing everywhere I went. All it would do is point to me. And what he desires you to do is use that gift to point to Jesus Christ. He desires you to lift him high, to use everything that you've been given for the glory of his name, to use your gifts for the good of the body of believers that are around you, for the good of the world as we serve on mission for the glory of his name. And listen, some of you need to step into serving. You need to step into those things because what God's concerned with is not what you would do if you had somebody else's gift. God says, here's what I've given you. I don't know why God blesses people in different ways with different gifts, different amounts of money, different things, what all those things. But listen, I trust him in the midst of it. And what I know is that he desires each one of us to use what he's given us for the glory of his name. And when we do, little as much when God is in it. God can take a bunch of nobodies, I love saying this, and fill them with somebody and use them to tell everybody. And if we'll use our gifts and we'll use our strengths and we'll lock arms for the glory of his name, listen, it's incredible what God will do. And I want to encourage you, jump in, go all in with your life for his kingdom, for the glory of his name. I've told you, I want to set aside money that maybe somebody's in need and you run into them and you've got budget for this and you want to be able to bless others that are around you. You want to be able to live in such a way that we're not consuming everything on our own desires. What would it look like if we took that kind of step today as a church where we were intentional? God, you've given me time. You've given me treasures. You've given me these gifts. I know they're all yours, Lord, and I pray you'd help me use them for your glory. God, I want to enjoy this life. I want to enjoy all the blessings. God, you've given us these things richly to enjoy, but not to consume all for ourselves. God, help us live that way. And where your treasure is, your heart will follow. That's the teaching of Jesus. You know, we think about seeking God first. We think about giving our time, our treasure, our talents. We need to remember something. You know, we come at this time in the service. We're going to take communion together today. I hope everyone that would like to participate, listen, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's been a time in your life where you've repented of your sin, and you've placed your faith in Christ. We want to invite you to come to this table. If there's any of you that have not received communion bread and juice and need that, if you lift your hand, we'll try to make sure we get that to you. But as we think about that, we enter into this moment. We're reminded that we did not give first. When we come to this table, we are reminded of what Christ has done. We don't come to this table because somehow we've earned our way because of what we have given, but we come to this table because of what Christ has given to us. Scripture says that he was rich, but he who was rich became poor for our sake. That he took on flesh. If you want to peel back and take the bread in your hand, the scripture would say that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, that Jesus Christ stepped out from the glories of heaven and he entered the brokenness of this world, born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life. He took on flesh and he lived a life that you and I could never live, the perfect life. And he died the death that we deserve. And so when we hold this bread, we're reminded that he gave his body in our place. When we take this cup, we remember that Jesus poured out his blood, not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, but because he loved us. This table reminds us that the Christian life does not begin with what we give to God. The Christian life begins with what God has given to us. That's why we respond and we seek him first. That's why we store treasure in heaven. That's why we give of ourselves in service to the King, because he is worthy. We respond in gratitude. We respond in worship. And this is a moment where we can respond. I'm going to pray for us. Scripture would say in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, that we're to examine ourselves. It says that as we examine ourselves, that we eat the bread and drink of the cup. And so in these moments, we want to reflect on our week. We want to reflect on our hearts. And we want to come, not worthy because of anything that we've done. We are worthy because of what Christ has done. But we come with humble, grateful hearts. If there's sin that maybe has been left unconfessed in these moments, I'm going to pray for us in a minute, but confess that sin. Ask God to forgive us. Maybe there's priorities. Maybe as we think about this, we recognize that, man, I'm not seeking first the kingdom of God. Man, there's times I read those verses, there's things about this week, you're thinking, man, sometimes I'm seeking more the kingdom of Jason. Right? I'm seeking more my own desires and my own things. And in these moments, we come and we realign. We ask God to forgive us where we fail him, and we begin anew to seek first his kingdom. I'm going to pray for us. God, we're grateful, Lord, that through the shed blood of Christ and Lord, through his body that was broken for us, Lord, that you've made it possible for sinful man, Lord, to be forgiven, Lord, to be brought from the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of your beloved Son, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. It's all of your grace. So, Lord, as we come to this table, we pray you forgive us where we fail you, God. God, we know it is often. Lord, we come thankful for your grace, Lord, and we come asking you, Lord, that you might send us out from here, God, on mission for the glory of your name. And we ask all this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. As you take the bread, the scripture would say that the Lord Jesus, in the night which he was betrayed, that he took bread. I want you to think about him gathered around that table with his disciples. And they didn't fully understand what was to come in those short hours ahead. And he would take the bread and he would give thanks. Scripture said that he broke it. And they would eat from this shared loaf. And Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat. as you peel back the juice. In the same way, the Lord Jesus, after supper, would take that cup. I imagine him looking into the eyes of those that he had done life with, those that he had called to himself. Scripture says that he called them to himself so he could be with them and send them out to preach. And they're going to go and be empowered with the Spirit of God to go and take the gospel to the world. And he said, I'm giving you a gift in these moments. He said, as often as you drink this cup, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink. Scripture says that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I want to encourage you. We're going to sing together. We're going to worship our great God. He is worthy. If there's someone here that's never responded to the gracious gift of salvation, listen, you can call on his name. There's coming a day. Philippians says there'll be a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, in that day when he returns, for some it'll be too late. We've got an opportunity, even in these moments, to respond to what Christ has done, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. To the scripture says, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. He took on all of my sin and all of my shame. And he did all that so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If you've never trusted in Jesus, we invite you to turn from your sin and trust that what Jesus did on that cross, that it was in your place. The Bible says that you'll be born again into the family of God, that you'll pass from death to life. You'll be given the gift of the Spirit of God that will lead you and direct you and guide you. And he'll use you in incredible ways for his kingdom. Will you stand with me as we worship? If you need to pray, if there's anything we can do to serve you, this altar is open. Let's worship our great God together.